I am mourning. I've experienced loss and pain. Would you join me? Would you weep with me? Would you sit with me? Would you help me? They would also stop anointing their face with oil. Their face would stop glowing. So when it says oil of joy instead of mourning, you would look upon people's face and you would see, oh my goodness, this person is going through grief. Because they would stop anointing their face with oil. And when it says the garments of praise instead of spirit of heaviness, the spirit of heaviness they're talking about, they're saying, I'm going to cast off your grave clothes and give you brand new garments of praise. Because here's the thing, is that God promises transformation with our pain, beauty, joy, and praise. But when you're right in the middle, you just forget. You don't know, and you're just holding it. And this particular time, I will never forget. I had just found out that I was pregnant with my youngest, Wally, that morning. I hadn't shared with a single person yet, not even my husband. And I got a phone call out of the blue from an old friend. I hadn't heard from her in a very long time. And as far as I remember the story, I answered. And without her even asking me how I was, what I was going through, she just quickly said, can I pray for you? And I said, oh, okay. And she quickly said, Lord, I give you my friend. Would you take her anger? Would you close her womb till the perfect time when you say it's time? Amen. As far as I remember, she never even asked me if I was angry. She never asked me if I was expecting. She got off the phone as quickly as she got on. And you guys, at that very moment, it felt like the anger got ripped away from me. It was just gone, delivered. I didn't ask for it. I didn't see it coming. The wild thing is I didn't realize that while anger is a stage of grief, and that's normal. And again, just like Jesus with his friend showed that he was so angry at death, I had allowed it to separate from me from God rather than bringing my anger to him at his feet. And when it was ripped away from me in that moment, out of God's grace and kindness, what I realized is it had created this refuge. That anger had created the refuge around me. And when it was gone, I was standing there exposed and vulnerable. And I could see the distance I had placed between myself and my Savior. I had a choice. I could put those walls right back up because that prayer didn't protect me from going back to that refuge, or I could run into the arms of my Savior. And so I am grateful that Jesus gave me that gift. And ultimately what I recognized for me, looking back, is I could not hold that type of anger that I was doing distance from God and new life. Because I had new life he was growing inside of me. And he wanted to take it so he could bring something brand new. And I am so incredibly grateful that he did that. And so, Jesus, our good God, he speaks truth not to shame us, but to set us free. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And right before that, he's saying, would you abide in my word? And this verse is saying that for his disciples, we need to know his word and obey in it. And this setting free is saying, I can set you free of the guilt and the enslavement of your sin. And here's my question. If feeling is not a sin, because Jesus, the sinless one, showed us that, how do we know? How do we know when it has crossed a line from feeling into sin? And for me, I think we look no further than the book of Job. Job, we can see very clearly that he had lost his children and God's word is clear that his suffering was not caused from his sin. And yet, if you continue in the story, you can see that he does begin to sin in his suffering. How? Because Job has started thinking too highly of himself and too lowly of God. And in his kindness, God pursued him. And what we see is that Job finally reaches the end of himself, not because his grief was wrong, but because he finally stops demanding answers to why in the world he's suffering, the mystery. And what he needed most and what he received was the encounter and the presence of God. Job 42:5 says, I have heard you. I'd heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now I see you. For those of us in this room that have encountered God in the darkest of our night knows the difference. I often describe it as like honey. It is one thing to know that honey is sweet, to tell people of its sweetness. It is another thing entirely to taste its sweetness. And when we encounter God in this dark night and in our suffering, this is what it is to taste and see that he is good. And he meets us in our goodness in that place. So the resolution to Job's suffering was not an explanation, but it was an encounter. And even after God restored Job at the end of the book, it did not erase the longing for the children that he had lost. The Lord replaced the exact same amount of children with the amount of children he lost, but yet it does not stop the longing of those that are gone. So you can still miss people you love and experience the goodness of God at the same time. Another thing that Job shows us at the very beginning is that in Job 1:20, he arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. So even in the deepest of agony, he still worshiped his God. He teaches us that worship and lament can happen at the exact same time. Another thing that I personally love is that it goes right from the book of Job into Psalms. And if you read Psalms in order, you'll see that it is this gentle flow and arc that you go from lament Psalms to joyful Psalms slowly over time. And you guys, I think this is why Mother's Day is tender, is because almost every heart in this room carries the name of someone that's just not at the table anymore. But God's word continues to encourage us. And it says in Isaiah 45:3, that even in the longing, even when it's still dark and you haven't seen the morning rise yet, it says, I will give you treasures of darkness and riches in secret places. This is a crazy passage because we want to move so quickly through our dark seasons. And yet God's word says there's treasures to be found there. I don't know if anyone remembers the worship song, Oceans. Does anyone remember singing that song? Oh, goodness. I remember singing that, like, my heart out to the song. And then after my seasons of feeling like I was in the deep end, being like, what was I doing? Why was I singing that song? Because it says, Spirit, lead me where my faith is without borders. Walk me beyond the waters. And in that deep end, there are treasures there that he wants to teach us about. And here's the thing, is ultimately that treasure is intimacy with Jesus. And that does not mean that God causes the pain, but it does mean that he redeems what the enemy meant to destroy. And maybe what feels like darkness is actually the place where God is forming something eternal in you. In this verse, it actually continues to say that you may know that I am the Lord who calls you by your name. He doesn't call you by your failure. He doesn't call you by your grief or your worst moment. He calls you by your name. You are his son. You are his daughter. And he says that you are mine. And he is saying, take me by the hand and you are coming with me. And here's the thing, is that when he brings you through the night and you meet him back on the shore, is that you will know him in ways that you never would have if the lights would have stayed on. And while suffering is promised in this world, the thing is that it is not the promise. The night is not the end of the story, because Isaiah 61:3 breaks through the darkness with the promise that we cling to. And it says to give them beauty for ashes, an oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of heaviness. Later in Luke 4:21, Jesus reads this part of the passage himself saying, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And Jesus is saying, I am the promise. It is me that makes this possible. And he enters into our suffering to redeem it. Ashes in this cultural time and in ancient time, it would represent grief. And what was left after something beautiful had been burned. We've got a workshop at our house and we've got a fire in there. And we have to constantly clear out the ashes to bring in the wood for warmth. And I brought these ashes today to show you guys, because something that was so interesting about that cultural time is it wasn't just as saying beauty for ashes. When people were grieving, they would literally take the ashes and they would put it on their heads to show everyone, I'm hurting. I am mourning. I've experienced loss and pain. Would you join me? Would you weep with me? Would you sit with me? Would you help me? They would also stop anointing their face with oil. Their face would stop glowing. So when it says oil of joy instead of mourning, you would look upon people's face and you would see, oh my goodness, this person is going through grief. Because they would stop anointing their face with oil. And when it says the garments of praise instead of spirit of heaviness, the spirit of heaviness they're talking about, they're saying, I'm going to cast off your grave clothes and give you brand new garments of praise. Because here's the thing, is that God promises transformation with our pain, beauty, joy, and praise. And the cross looked like ashes, but resurrection morning came. And because of Jesus, your worst thing is not the last thing. Genesis 50:20 says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. It means he wants to grow new life from that pain, new beginnings, and new hope. Romans 5 even says that suffering produces endurance, endurance character, and character hope. And hope will never put you to shame. You will never regret having hope. And suffering will lead us to hope. Because the Bible speaks of another morning. And in Revelation 21:4, it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more mourning and crying or pain. That is the ultimate promise that he's saying to hold on to. It is the final mourning. Because if it's not good yet, he's just not done. And I think if there's one thing to remember, it's that's the hope we hold on to when we put our faith in Jesus. Is that if you're in the darkness of night right now, or if you're hurting, cling to the hope that he is not done writing your story. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith, and he is more than able to finish what he started in you. And here's the thing for me, is that I have walked through many dark nights, many. But I stand here today to tell you that God has been faithful through every season, regardless of how I've handled my pain. whether I brought that to him quickly or I was slow and he pursued me. And by his grace, my marriage has been restored. And even that is a glimpse of this greater restoration that I hold very tight. Because it says that one day I will see my mom again. And I will get to hold and be with those babies that I never got to meet. Because heaven will reunite what grief separated. And the table will be full again. And joy will come. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but the same God who raised Jesus from the grave, he has written mourning into the story. He has written a mourning into his story. He's written a mourning into your story. If the worship team can make their way up. Here's the thing. I've shared my story with you, and I want to give you guys the chance to respond, because some of you have been carrying ashes around for a very long time, and you have been holding them tight, and maybe you, like me, have created a refuge for yourself and distanced yourself from God, and you're holding them, and what he wants to do is he wants to say, can I take them from you? Would you lay those ashes down so I can create new life in you? And while I don't know what that new life looks like for you, he does. And you can ask him and you can hand those ashes over to him and allow him to do something brand new. Because Jesus took our sin, our shame and our grief and our brokenness upon himself. So we can receive forgiveness, healing, and new life. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. He stepped into our brokenness so he could bring us back to life. And he wants you to live now while you wait for him. And even when we take our last breath, we go from life to life when we know him. What a beautiful promise and hope that is. And I love that he does not ask us to fix ourselves first. He just simply asks us to come. Come to him as we are. Come broken and sad. Come angry. Just come and lay at his feet. Would you pray with me? Father God, you know every person in this room. You know what they're carrying. You know what they've walked through. You know what they've been through. You know where they're at right now. You know every tear that they have cried, and you have counted them, and you will redeem it. So, Father, I pray right now that they can hand it to you. Let you prepare their hearts so they could trust you that there will be beauty from those ashes. There will be joy for the morning, and you will give them praise. God, would you help us? Would you walk with us? Would you help us to trust you when it's so dark and it's so hard to see? Father, your word says that you are a lamp unto our feet, and we might not be able to see very far down the road, but you will give us the next step. So God, I pray right now for every single person that sits in this room that you would just give them that next step. Would you give them eyes to see and clarity of what that next step is? We love you, Jesus. Amen. So the next part, I just want to lead you in something that we've got set up for you here. And the worship team is going to lead us in a song called At the Altar. And there is a line in the song that says, there is no waste at the altar. And what that means is that when we lay those things down to him, he will give you new life. In Isaiah 61, when it says beauty, the beauty for ashes, that beauty actually means a crown. And he is saying someday he is going to literally put a crown on your head and say, well done. But right now, we don't get to skip past the grief or through. He wants to walk us through those things. And so what I want to invite you into is that right in front of you, you guys have these sermon notes, if you look right in front of you. And what I want to invite you to do is take one of these pages, and I just want you to write something you've been holding on to that is not yours to hold. Maybe it is comparison. Maybe it's survivor's guilt or shame. But I just want you to ask Jesus and write it down on the paper. And then when we start the song, I just want you to crumple it up and come forward if you want to. And you're going to put it in these baskets. And then you're going to pick up this cross. And it actually has flowers in it, those seeds. And if you want to, you can plant it in the ground and show that when you surrender something to Jesus, he will plant new life. And what he's actually asking you is just saying, will you trust me to grow something new? So if you could just pray with me one more time. Jesus, God, I just thank you. Would you just teach every person in this room that they could lay something down at your feet? Would you place it on their heart so they could pick up something new? Love you. Amen.